here on the Sunday Morning Cornerback, Gary Paskowitz, joined by Daryl Rideau. Daryl, this edition of the Sunday Morning Quarterback is a tough one. That was a hard way to lose a football game last night. ASU 38, USC 34. A tough, stunning ending.
It's one of these games, Gary, that I'm still trying to wrap my head around the situation. Here's a staff that's not a staff that hadn't been together for quite some time. I mean, the nucleus of the staff came with Sark from Washington. But here's what I realized, Gary, that sometimes a victory can conceal your inefficiencies, but a loss will reveal all of the mistakes, all of the attention to details that we're just not seeing at this juncture from this coaching staff 5 games in.
Well, let's pay attention. You're talking about attention to detail, and there's going to be a lot to get to, strictly to talking the final 3 minutes of the game. That's really what we're going to cover here in this podcast this morning. The Trojans get a lead. They have a 9-point lead with under 3 minutes left.
I'll take my chances anytime. You're telling me that this USC's defense, with all this talent on the field, defending 9 points with 3 minutes left, I'll take my chances any day.
So ASU gets the ball. They come out. They start at their 27-yard line with Mike Bercovici, who's had a good day so far to this point. But you got it, and you're up by 9 points, and they got 70 yards to go. The Trojans come out in a man defense.
Oh, there's your mistake right there. What did you just say? They came out in a what?
In a man-to-man defense.
And you're defending 9 points, and with 3 minutes left in the game, you're in man coverage? Gary, what that tells me is there's a disconnect between the situation and this coaching staff. This coaching staff being able to recognize that in a situation like that, I would have our defensive players in a zone coverage, everybody's eyes on the plays at hand, nothing behind me. When you're in man coverage, that means you have one high safety, and one mistake leads to pay dirt. And I believe that's what we saw. We saw the one thing that could not happen happened, unfortunately.
And take it through that. Okay, it's one thing to have the play called with a scheme that you say doesn't fit the situation. But the Kevon Seymour, veteran player, we're not talking a true freshman here, made a critical mistake, and you were telling me something about what Pete Carroll would have you guys to, which plays directly into the decision that Kevon Seymour made.
And make no mistake about it, I'm not banging on Seymour the player, but I'm banging on the situation. Okay, when I was in situations like that, when we had, regardless of who the secondary coach was, Pete Carroll would work his way over to our huddle right before we went on the field, and he would have us restate 3 chants. I will not give up the big play in a situation like that, meaning take a chance at an interception without securing the tackle to kill the clock. I will keep the receiver in front of me, okay? And I will knock the ball down out of the air. Those 3 things we saw materialize in the last 3 minutes of this game. But more importantly, in that situation where Seymour gave up the play, the receiver Smith, Cameron Smith, went inside. Seymour undercuts the position. That tells me he doesn't understand his own situation, because he had a linebacker there to undercut that situation. He should have stayed high to the upfield shoulder and been in position to make the tackle. Instead, you have 2 players on the same side of the ball, Gary. All Smith had to do was reverse his momentum, head up the sideline, and there was no one there to tackle him. Again, that's a attention to detail thing, and that's the first point that you have to you have to put that on the coaching staff for not recognizing the moment, putting players in an unfavorable position.
Okay, so at that point, it's USC 34, ASU 32. They try an onside kick. USC gets it about the 50-yard line. Yeah. Three run plays at that point. There are some debates on the message board right now. Yeah. Could SC have been more conservative? Was it a good thing to run 3 plays to take some time off the clock? Your thoughts really quick on that.
The way that Buck Allen was playing in the fourth quarter, I'm putting the ball in his hands, and I'm going to try to drain the clock as much as possible. So while you may want to argue the type of plays that was called, I have no problem with the ball being in Allen's hands. I mean, at the end of the day, Gary, I think they had, about 27 seconds left once the after those 3 plays leading up to the 4th down, which is a head-scratcher for me, that you keep Kessler on the field, not as a quarterback, but you're asking him to make a pooch kick, which he shanks. And when you shank a kick like that only netted 18 yards and it goes out of bounds, it's not the 18 yards as much as the fact that the ball shanked and went out of bounds. Now, I don't know. I don't go to enough practices, Gary, but I have to believe that Cody Kessler doesn't spend a lot of time practicing with the punt group.
No.
Doesn't spend a lot of time. And while I think it's admirable that you want to put him in those situations, I don't think that that was the best situation to put him in, considering the type of day that he had.
Okay, and then ASU gets the ball, 23 seconds left. First pass incomplete. Second pass over the middle of the tight end. They basically get the ball at about the 50-yard line with 7 seconds left. Yep. So many ways to go with the Hail Mary play. Go ahead and talk your way through this.
Well, first and foremost, there was 10 seconds left. They down the ball, which right. drops it down to 7 seconds. The reason why I'm emphasizing that is because that tells me you now have time to make any type of adjustments on the sideline. Bear in mind that much of this happened on USC's side of the field, okay? In terms of how that communication was coming on the field. But I'm hearing that there was some talk about should we have been in cover two or were we in a prevent defense? Gary, there is no debate. Last play of the game, 7 seconds. I'm putting my best dudes on the field. I'm putting my best athletes on the field. And I'm covering victory. Hail Mary prevent defense. No different than you getting on a plane and one of the flight attendants rehearsing over and over again every time you get on the plane what we're going to do in time of crisis, what is our evacuation plan. USC has done this time and time again, week in and week out. So for there to be some confusion is just beyond my comprehension. Heels are, if you're the three safeties back, your heels should be on the goal line. Everything in front of you and you attacking the ball at the highest point, deflecting it downhill. If there was ever a situation that was a great teaching moment, Gary, wasn't it the Oregon State game right before halftime when we see Rodgers catching it for USC? Great, now I got it on film. Let's flip the role. This will not happen to our team. You should have used that as a coaching point. Instead, what do we see? We see confusion. We see Chris Hawkins. It looks like he was talking back there with McQuay trying to figure out, well, what coverage are we in? Meanwhile, you have Hayes Pollard in the middle of the field, an enigma. Not quite a linebacker, not quite a safety, but just confused. So he's trying to get depth. He's going to come critical. He's going to come into play critically, okay, later in this part. Lastly, your two best players are on the weak side of the field when I have on the opposite side three receivers, Foster, Smith, and Strong being in the middle. No one in front of them within 11 yards, and your best two players are on the weak side of the field covering grass when there was a tight end on that line of scrimmage who did not go into the play. So now you got Cravens out of position, and you have Adoree Jackson out of positions. I don't care what the scenario is. Cravens is a safety. He should have been deep. You bring Pollard up, okay? And then you bring Pollard, and then you bring 56 Sorrow, Anthony Sorrow. You bring them in front of the two inside receivers, Strong and Foster, and you get them to reroute. You get them to be as physical as they can because you have time for that. And then the next thing I do, McQuay, I love you. You're off the field. Juju Smith, you're 6'2". You played safety in high school. For one play, I'll take my chances.
How about Darius Rogers? He showed you he knows how to catch a Hail Mary.
And that's the frustrating
anything
part.
Like that.
It just goes back to attention to details, and right now we're not seeing that. So losses can reveal the fact that this coaching staff isn't doing a good job of conveying that, Gary.
Now, that play right there, you bring up the great point in that there was a teaching opportunity right there from the week before to show that. But what really gets me is and Sarkisian even said afterwards, someone asked him, were you trying to defend the quick throw and then get out of bounds, try for a field goal, or were you defending against the Hail Mary? And he said, we were trying to defend both.
Gary, with 7 seconds left on the clock, you defend what is going to hurt you most. And you rally to tackle everything else. You keep everything in front of you. So there is no debate. That's an executive decision. When in doubt, default to prevent defense, which means you should have been defending the Hail Mary. So there is no excuse for why there should have even been a conversation about are we in cover two or are we in prevent defense. And that's just it right there. If you want to really know what happened, it was a breakdown in communication, and that can never happen again.
A tough one for the Trojans on Saturday, 38-34 in favor of the Sun Devils. That's it for this edition of the Sunday Morning Cornerback. For Darryl Rideau, this is Gary Paskowitz.